Our scripture lesson tonight, our main lesson, comes from Psalm 139. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from far away. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all of my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, O Lord, you know it completely. You hem me in behind and before and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It's so high that I cannot attain it. For it was you who formed my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, that I know very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes beheld my unformed substance. In your book were written all the days that were formed for me, when none of them as yet existed. How weighty to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. I try to count them. They are more than the sand. I come to the end. I am still with you. May the Lord add a blessing to this reading of God's word. The new year is a great time to make a new beginning with God. And this January, we are looking at how to reboot different areas of our lives for the new year. Just like when you're on the computer and you can't quite get things to work out and you've tried everything you can try, sometimes it's best to just do a reboot. And so last week we talked about rebooting our faith. This week, in the spirit of January, we will turn to our health, how to reboot our health. The most popular resolutions have to do with this. Every year, folks say, this is the year. I will eat more healthily. I will exercise more. I will tend to self-care. Health resolutions routinely make the top five, along with save more money and start a new hobby. If you ever go to the gym in January, you don't need me to tell you about this phenomenon. It's suddenly packed with folks, right? But if you stick it out, by Valentine's Day, everything's back to normal. As Christians, it can be hard to see what our physical and mental and emotional health would have to do with our faith. In fact, in my first sermon series here at Glenmar a few months ago on living an embodied faith, we talked about how there's a temptation to think that the spirit is good and somehow our bodies are bad. After all, Jesus says to the disciples who can't stay awake in the Garden of Gethsemane with him, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. The Apostle Paul contrasts life in the flesh with life in the spirit. And we know he means life guided by only what we want, that's what he means by flesh, versus being guided by what God wants, life in the spirit. But some folks have taken that flesh-spirit thing and run with it in some pretty unfortunate directions. They think that somehow it's okay to think about our bodies as bad and worthy of punishment and neglect. Our own health, physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, tends to be a low priority, doesn't it? It's so easy to put those considerations last instead of things that feel more urgent or necessary. Parents who would never miss a child's twice-a-year dental visit. Many of us haven't been to the dentist ourselves in a while. We might even think that our God cares more about our inner faith than our inner and outer health. Physical health may be seen as a vanity or an indulgent waste of time that we could be spending working or helping others. And caring for our mental or emotional health, sometimes that's even lower on the list. In some circles, there is some stigma attached to caring for our mental and emotional health. We wouldn't see a diabetic's need to take insulin as some kind of weakness or character flaw, but somehow Christians taking an antidepressant or an anti-anxiety medication can become some kind of weird issue about how strong we are. A mental health challenge is no different than a physical one, and it's just as important to care for the minds that God has given us and our emotional health than it is to take care of our blood pressure or our body. We may put our health last on our list, but God seems pretty invested in our health and in our thriving, whether that's physical or mental or emotional. Jesus said in John 10, "I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." And having an abundant life means having wholeness in all areas of our living. At the very beginning, in Genesis, we learn that humankind is made in the image of God, and God calls creation very good when humans are added to the mix. Psalm 139 says, "We are fearfully and wonderfully made, knit together in the womb lovingly by God." So if we're talking about our physical health and how we treat the bodies that God has given us, we're surely called to treat them with the care and love worthy of such sacred stuff as being made in the image of God. As you have already testified, Ephesians 2:10 says that we are God's masterpiece. I wonder if we would treat our health differently if we took Scripture seriously on this point. If you had a classic car, you know, a real masterpiece, or a piece of valuable art, a masterpiece, I bet we'd take care of it. We'd take the car around the block from time to time, you know, just the right amount. We'd do necessary repairs. We'd keep it shined up. If we had fancy artwork, we'd clean it. We'd gaze on it with love, even admiration at the handiwork of the artist. And we are God's masterpiece. We are wonderfully made. This is true even when we look in the mirror and we think that we are imperfect. Even in what we would call imperfection, we are God's masterpiece. We are God's masterpiece, whether we are newborn or we are 98. We are God's masterpiece, even if we bear scars or have parts that don't work the way they used to all the time. I can tell it's going to snow. My knees tell me so. Right now, just as we are God's masterpiece. But if God looks at us that way, why is it so hard for us to see it? Why are we so hard on ourselves? I think when we put ourselves down, put self-care last, discount our sacred worth, God, the master artist, hangs his head. Tending to our health and showing our minds and bodies some love is a way to honor God, the one who made us. It's a theological statement. The Apostle Paul was writing to the church at Corinth about rampant sexual immorality that was going on in Corinth at the time. They had a saying, "What happens in Corinth stays in Corinth." And he said that those sins are sins against our bodies. And he writes to the church, "Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God?" He said, "You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies." Right now, our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit. right now, they are fearfully and wonderfully made, designed to do good works, designed to be the hands and feet of Christ in the world. What a good reason in 2019 to give our health a little reboot, to prioritize our self-care. How is God calling us to honor God with our body in rebooting our health? Scripture tells us that everything that has breath is to praise the Lord. And Paul tells us to run the race that is set before us. And the church is compared to a physical body where all the parts work together as they are designed. And moving the body that God has made can be an act of worship and praise. Just ask a dancer if you don't believe me. Ask King David, who danced before the Lord. Just ask someone who moves through yoga poses with intention as they meditate on God's Spirit at work, on God's Spirit in their breath. In the movie Chariots of Fire, the main character is being reprimanded by his sister for neglecting his responsibilities to God as he devotes his focus toward competitive running. And he responds, "I believe that God made me for a purpose, but he also made me fast. And when I run, I feel his pleasure." What if rebooting our health would help us to feel God's pleasure in the creations that we are made to be? When God is pleased, very often we too are pleased. I can remember one time when I was about 7 years old, I was on a random car trip, and back in them days, boredom was a real thing. We didn't have TVs in the car. We didn't have electronics to play with. I didn't even have headphones, nothing. And it was raining. And I was tired of watching the rain go down the window. And all of a sudden, I found myself looking at my hand, at my fingers, wiggling them around, you know, at my arm. And I realized, hey, I'm alive. I'm a breathing, living being. And I thanked God. The wonder of being alive, feeling God's pleasure at that life. It may be a stretch to you to think about time at the gym or in the pool or in the chair yoga class as a place to worship God with our bodies. But it can be. As we move, thank God for each part. Toes and shoes, ankles and knees. As we swim, feel with intention the water flowing around us, thanking God for the water and for muscles that pull us through it. Just breathing with intention can be a way to give thanks, to honor God who made us, to move toward health or wholeness. Walking or moving in a wheelchair can be a channel for prayer and meditation as God works on us in prayer and we move. Now, we won't always have these bodies. They're designed to wear out eventually, and that's okay. We will go to be with God and we'll have a new body then. But in the meantime, we have these temples of the Holy Spirit. Why not honor them as the gifts they are right now by caring for them as we would care for people we love? Another piece of health that people really want to address is the way that they eat. God seems to have an opinion on this. Giving Adam and Eve food in the Garden of Eden. When Elijah was fleeing for his life, God sent an angel to feed him, to strengthen him for the journey. Jesus says, "I am the bread of life." He says he's living water. We're encouraged to come to the bread of life that God offers. Isaiah 55, one of my favorite passages, uses this imagery to call people to God. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you that have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread and labor for that which doesn't satisfy? Listen to me and eat what is good. I'm not trying to be the food police. I'm not a fan of kale. But just speaking from my own experience, I can be sitting in that drive-through line and I'm looking at the menu and it's encouraged me to have something called a Baconator. And it's encouraging me that I need to upsize it to the mega size. I tell you, church, once I was at a Burger King, they had something called a Baconzilla. That can't be of God, right? Baconzilla. And I find the first bite is good. But after I'm done eating it, I feel terrible. I don't feel like God's masterpiece. It's food that doesn't satisfy. I'm often convicted that what I choose to eat feels more like a punishment of myself than a nourishment of the temple of the Holy Spirit. Maybe 2019 could be a time to begin to think of the food we eat as an act of worship, an offering to God, or a fuel for God's masterpiece. What if in 2019 we did something radical, like made rest and sleep just as important as work and Facebook and Candy Crush? Punching out for Sabbath rest or a good night's sleep is an act of rebellion against the narcissism that says we are responsible for everything and nothing can happen without us. Sabbath keeping acknowledges there's a God and we're not Him, and He's the keeper of time and tasks. There's a meme going around that says, people who say they don't rest from work because Satan doesn't take a day off should find a new role model to follow. God is on the throne. We can rest. And that nurtures our physical, mental, and spiritual health, and it honors the giver of life. It's an act of worship and a testament to our faith in God. As we give our health a reboot this year, I want to end by saying, while it's important to tend to our health, as I said, our bodies are not designed to last forever. And I want to offer that sometimes God can give healing and wholeness in a situation where it's not the same thing as giving a cure. An article in Psychology Today puts it this way: you can cure without healing, and you can heal without curing. In medical school and residency, most of our training focused on curing. But healing and curing are inherently different. Curing means eliminating all evidence of disease. Healing means becoming whole. Health can be different than cure. I've had the privilege of walking with folks who were in hospice care, and their disease wasn't cured in the medical sense. But many times they spoke to me of healing, of mended relationships, of coming to see that they were bigger than just their physical body, that it would be okay if their body gave out because they were more than that. They were going to be with God. Their temple was reaching the end of its days, but the spirit was still strong. Many pastors also have stories where a medical condition was cured, but there was no real healing. No healing of relationships, no wholeness. So, Glenmar, how is God calling you to take the next faithful step toward health and wholeness. You are God's masterpiece, a temple of the Holy Spirit, beloved and precious and bought with a price. So in 2019, do more than just resolve. Reboot. Amen.